Timothy. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy, please. Chapter 4. I want you to stand as we're going to honor the reading of God's Word here tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I just want to call your attention to the last two verses in this passage. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse number 21. Do thy diligence to come before winter. And that is the key part of our text here tonight. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Brother Keith, would you pray for this message, and everybody can be seated here tonight.
Lord, we're just thankful, first of all, to be alive and to be healthy enough to be here tonight.
Amen.
We know there's other people that would love to be here, but they're not able, and we want to remember them wherever they are.
Yes, Lord.
Whatever their situation. Pray, Lord, that you would touch them and help
them. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. Now, I have a strange title to my message tonight, especially for what we've been going through, but I'm going to preach on this subject tonight. Winter time is coming. You say, I don't believe it. You can believe it. Do you realize that last Monday was the first day of fall? Felt like the first day of purgatory, although we know that's not true. But I'm going to tell you something here tonight, and you listen to me, and you listen to me well. It will be bark-busting cold weather before you know it. Wintertime is coming. We're already in fall. And before you know it, I know some of you can't believe it. Some of you be saying, oh, I'm so cold. I can't wait till the spring gets here and thaws everything back out. I know what I'm talking about. I've seen a few winters in my life. Some of you have seen a lot more than me. And you know that to be the truth. Now, I want you to look at your text here tonight and 2 Timothy chapter 4, this records Paul's last will and testament, I guess you could say. He's in Rome, and he's awaiting execution. The Bible tells us that he's fought a good fight, he's kept the faith, he's finished the course, and he has some final words for the young preacher, Timothy. And it's something that's real important to him that you see in this text when you look at it is that he wants to see Timothy. I think he wants to see him one more time before he checks out of here. Verse number 9, he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Verse number 11, only Luke is with me. You know, now Luke was a physician. He said, only Luke is with me. And he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, you know, Paul and Mark had a little parting of the ways. And I think when you get close to the end of your life, you need to be thinking about reconciling some things, if possible. I really think that. I really believe that. Paul thought it was important. I think you ought to think it's important. And then, of course, we get down to our text tonight, and he says it again. He says, do your diligence to come. And notice what he says. You need to do your diligence to come before winter. He said, I want you to get here before winter. You know what? Traveling is more difficult in the winter time. And Paul, notice what he tells him. He says, you bring Mark. He says, bring the cloak and the book and the parchments in verse number 13. Now, he wants his cloak because winter time's coming. The cloak was an outer garment that they wore. They could use it as a coat or to cover up with at night. It's going to get cold. It's probably already getting cold. And he wants that cloak along with the books and the parchments. Now listen to me. Here we are. Tomorrow's going to be the first day of October. And winter is just around the corner. And winter, listen, you know what I know about winter and what you know about winter? It's a time of less activity, isn't it? Things begin to slow down during the winter time. There's shorter daylight, isn't there? Death of plants begin to occur. Leaves fall off the trees. And I'm here to tell you something here tonight, and everybody listen to me very carefully. Every one of us in this building here tonight are heading for the winter time of our life. We're heading there. And the spiritual teaching of this passage to me is very clear here tonight. He's saying to us, do your diligence to do what you can before you get in the winter time, the winter season of your life. You know what you're going to do in winter? Many people start covering their boat. They're not going to use their boat no more for a while. They start insulate their pipes. They drain the swimming pool. You know why? Because that is all that time for that is over. They're moving into a new season. And by the way, what do you think about seasons? You know what happens in the springtime? Everything begins to sprout and bloom. I love the springtime, except for the allergies. And then in the summer, it's a time of growing. And then we get to the fall, and we have a time of harvest. And then we get to wintertime, and it's a time of death. Things are going to die when you hit the wintertime. So what I want to do, and listen, what I'm trying to preach to you and get across to you tonight, please stay with me. I'm trying to get some urgency in your life. What is missing in the local church is urgency. Now listen to me tonight. Urgency is not missing out in the world. Go here, go there, do this, do that, rush here, rush there. But it's missing when it comes to the things of God. And when I speak about urgency, listen to me tonight. I'm not talking about you being busy so you can check off a box, or about you looking spiritual, whatever that means, or being involved in all kind of things God doesn't even want you to be involved in, or keeping you so busy in that church all the time doing things where you neglect your family and you're about to run yourself ragged. I don't believe in that at all. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about looking at your life and saying, my life is going to end as a child of God standing right in front of Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to wind up just boom, 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 back and forth, running, running, just going back. And you've blown it. You're going to die one day, and I'm here to try to help you now. I'm here to try to warn you. You're going to die one day and stand bankrupt at the judgment seat of Christ. Why? You had an urgency about everything in life that's not going to last. But you have no urgency about the fact that I am approaching the winter time of my life, and I might be checking out of here sooner than later, and I'm going to wind up standing in front of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords giving an account of how I've lived my Christian life. And everything you've accumulated on this earth in that day will not matter. God help us that we got Baptist churches all over this country and a preacher neglects to tell his people that thing. God help you that you would leave and be unprepared. I'm going to try to prepare you some tonight. Now I know that man, he's preparing you. And I know Brother David, he'll prepare you. But I'm going to jump in there with him. Now I want to think about just a few things here tonight. That'll be the message. It won't be long. You know, I don't ever preach long. Somebody said one time, the reason Brother Dennis hasn't preached long is you couldn't take no more of that. Well, I'll have that fella know, and everybody else. I've calmed down a little bit over the last year or two, so it won't be quite as rough. I want you to consider some things. I've alliterated it all, not to sound smart, but so you can remember it. Listen, winter time is coming, number one, when it comes to your health. Can anybody in here say amen? Amen. Listen, while you can still hear the message, while you can still hear the man preach, you need to be in church. There's coming a time when you're not going to be able to hear him. I remember the last few years when my daddy, and it was very frustrating because my daddy, one thing is probably because he's a Knowles, and that says a lot, but he would not put his hearing aids in. And I'd want to talk to him, and it was frustrating, especially after I knew he had the cancer diagnosis, and I wanted to talk to him. In the last few years, you couldn't talk to him. Now, some of you can still hear. What are you doing with your hearing? Spending your time listening to gossip? Spending your time on the phone? Are you trying to avail yourself of hearing some things that's going to help you in the next life? Listen, there's coming a time when you ain't going to be able to hear no more. There's coming a time in your health when you're not going to be able to see no more. You know what some of you do? You'll read every book you need to graduate from college. You ought to. If you have a job and they're going to send you to do some more training so you get a better job or a pay raise, you'll read every pamphlet they give you in order to be able to complete that job. God gave you a perfect book of what's expected out of you, what He wants you to do, how you can wind up not being in trouble with Him, and you neglect it. You won't read it. And you know what's going to happen one day? You're not going to have the eyes anymore to read it. Wintertime's just right down the road. I'll pick it up. I'll get to it later. I'll pick it up. Get the dust off of it before you come to church every night. And you'll slap it right back down. God's perfect word. How do you think God feels about that? Wintertime's coming when you're not going to be able to come to church anymore at night. You ought to come to church at night right now while you can, because you're still able to drive and see. We put our services back up there. We had, I think before I moved from Pleasant Grove, we'd already moved them back to 5. I got up there and we moved our services back to 5 where I'm pastoring at. It gives more time of the year for people that have trouble to seeing. They at least have more daylight during the year where some of them can drive and get the evening service. But listen, there's coming a time in your life you'll never go to another night service. And you may live 5 or 10 more years on the earth, but if somebody don't come by and pick you up, you'll never go to another night service because you can't see anymore. And what you'll do is you'll sit home and watch the Super Bowl or watch this or watch that. And I know I need to be at revival, but I've got this, that, and other. You know what? There's coming a day when you can't hear no more and you can't see no more. And maybe you're homebound and maybe you're bedbound and maybe your legs won't let you do it anymore and your back won't let you do it anymore. And maybe there's a time when you can comprehend the book, but you just can't remember like you used to. I'm fixing to be 50 next year. And I can already tell I'm not as sharp as I was when I was in my 30s. I used to could pick up something and read it pretty quick and retain it and spit it back out to you and study. And I could memorize. I would always carry outlines up in the pulpit with me. But I pretty much had that outline in my mind. I mean, it was just there in case I had some kind of memory lapse or something. But I've noticed just in the last few years, man, I'm not as sharp as I used to be. Some of that could be age. Some of that could be because I'm a diabetic. Some of that could be just be the stress of being a Baptist pastor for all these years. But I'm not as, listen, there's coming a time when you're not going to have the retention you used to. You're not going to be able to pick up something and just, I got it. Listen, your health is going to leave you. It's going to leave you. You don't know how many times I've wound up in the nursing home over the years, preaching or teaching and visiting or at assisted living home, and I'll be at by some dear saint's bed. And the conversation will go something like this. Hey, Brother Dennis, was it a good service today? Did many people come? What did you preach on? I sure wish I could have been there. Listen, I'm not here to talk down to you tonight. I'm not here to come here and make you feel bad here tonight. If the Holy Spirit wants you to feel bad, then I do. I'm here to try to help you think about something here tonight. Some of you, you're blowing it. You're blowing him. You know what's going to happen to you? You think that's them. Yeah, that's them. It's your kinfolk. It's your friend up yonder in the nursing home. You need to look on up that road. Wintertime's coming. You know, wintertime's coming for you and you and you and you and me. And that's going to be us laying up there in one of those facilities. Knowing that that's our last stop. If we're not getting out. We're not going to get out. Hoping somebody will come see us. I know. You're busy. And you got this going and that going. And it don't smell good in the nursing home. And I got you. Maybe God's going to wind it up for you one day where you're laid up in that thing out of your mind wondering, why won't they come see me? Where's my boy? Where's my girl? Where's my church family? Where's that preacher? Wintertime's coming, and you know why you can't believe it? Because it's a doggone hot right now. Everything's burning up. All we can see is right now, it's hot, it's humid, I'm sick and tired of it. Just hold on. You blink your eyes and you snap your fingers and it'll be here. And then you say, boy, I wish it was back when it was hot and I could get out and do something. and my blood circulated a little bit better. Winter time is coming. The days are going to get short, dark, and cold when it comes to your health. Number two, I think of this other word. I think of the word help. Now, if you want to be a help to somebody, now is the time to be a help, because there's coming a day when you're not going to be able to be a help. While you have the time to be a help, the Bible says that we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:16. One day we're going to run out of time. Time's going to be up. It's going to be over. We're not going to have any more time. And listen, I may die before any of you. I may not make it home here tonight. But if the thing goes naturally like it's going, some of you in here are closer than me, man. You're a lot closer than I am. What have you done? Is there not any urgency? Do you not say, man, I got to get some stuff done because it's fixing to be too cold to get it done? If I don't get the firewood laid by right now, we're going to freeze in the winter. Work for the night is coming. It's time to work now. But you're too busy to do anything for Christ because you're busy doing everything else. Stuffing your own face, doing your own thing, pulling the shades down and saying, you would never say this with your mouth. You never say this with your mouth. But you know what you're saying? To hell with the world. If everybody in Red Level and Andalusia goes to hell, let them go. I got my salvation. I'm going to do what I want to do. You don't have to say it with your mouth when you show it with your actions. It's going to come a time when you're not going to have any time anymore to help anybody. You're not going to be able to physically exercise your talents because you can't physically exercise. There's coming a time when your body's wrapped up, man. It's done its last deal. I made a terrible mistake this year, and I was doing it trying to encourage my fellas. We got a softball team up there. Yep, it's coming. I played. I was the oldest one out there playing. And we had a pretty good softball team. We had three fellas on our team. And by the way, we do it fair. We don't go around and try to pick up people. Church softball is some of the most crooked mess you'll ever see. That's another message. We play people that are in our church, already in our church, before we ever thought about a softball team. But we had three fellas on our team that used to play college ball. So we had a good softball team. And then there's four or five of us older ones that somebody has to be the worst ones out there. But I was the oldest one playing. Man, I hurt my back, I hurt my legs, I hurt my knees, I hurt my neck, I hurt everything. And I started not to play. You know why I started not to play? Because there was a time when I could play. There was a time when I did play. There was a time when I wasn't just on the team just to try to encourage them and help them. I was on the team because I was useful. I could knock in some runs. I could make some plays. I could catch the ball. I could throw it. I could move. I could actually run around the bases pretty rapidly for a man my size. I'm not competitive anymore. Matter of fact, when I'd hit the ball, I still can place the softball. I know they can pitch. I still can place it and base hit it, but they'd all laugh at me when I was running to first base. You know why? Wintertime is here as far as softball is concerned with me. It's over, man. I can't do it anymore. There's going to come a day. Listen, you know what? God's gifted some of you so much with so many abilities and talents, and all you've ever done with them is just used them to put money in your pocket. Why don't you use those gifts? I'd hate to know I had to meet God one day with a bunch of gifts and abilities, and all I've ever done is just put money in the bank. I heard of a big church somewhere. I believe it was up north somewhere. It was a big church, just an evangelical church, maybe not a church like we believe or we go to, but you know what they did one time? They said, look, they said, we have a big church here, and we have a lot of single women and divorced women in this church, and we have several mechanics in this church, and every once in a while on a Saturday, the mechanics would come to that church, and all the single women and all the divorced women would bring their cars in for minor repairs and oil change and stuff like that. I say amen to that. Amen. They may not believe the Bible, but at least they're doing something. A lot of Bible believers, they just run their mouth about how much they know and don't ever do anything for nobody. Amen, that's right. You talk about the poor old fellow up there reading out the NIV. Yeah, I know. I know he ain't got the Bible if he's got the NIV, and I still believe that. Amen. But at least he's got a heart for God, and you got the right Bible, and you got a head full of knowledge, and you would never think about doing something like that. Listen, man, if God's gifted you to do something, don't just do it to put money in your pocket. Try to be a blessing and a help with somebody, because there's coming a day when you may be the best mechanic that's ever lived in Covenant County, but your back and arms and hands and neck won't let you fix nothing anymore. You'll be worked on your last automobile. You'll be worked on your last tractor. You'll be worked on your last motor, whatever. Do something while you have the health to do it, while you have the money. How many of you know what it's like to live on a fixed income right now? I'm not going to preach much on money. That'll ruin the meeting. But if you're ever going to spend any of your money for the cause of Christ, you need to do it while you have a job. Common sense tells you that, don't it? There's going to come a time when you're not going to have the money to do it. If you want to take your money and make a difference for the kingdom of God, you better do it. You better help with that while you can. Listen, while you have opportunity. When wintertime gets here, you're not going to have the opportunity. And you know what's going to wind up happening in your life? Not only are you not going to be able to give the help that you want to give, but then you're going to be the one needing help. You know how it starts out? Your parents take care of you, and then you take care of your parents. You know how the thing goes? You start out in a diaper, and you get up and get in some toddler clothes, and then some young clothes, and some teenage clothes, and then grow up, and you wind up, unless you die suddenly or something, you wind up back in diapers again. You make a full circle. You know what I'm saying here is right tonight. There's just very few people that will get up and tell you. I'm telling you. Winter time is coming. And I'm not trying. This church has been so good to me. Of all the people in the world, I wouldn't want to hurt your feelings as you. Some of you are not ready. I'm not even talking about salvation. You're just as saved as anybody. But you've never hit a sustained lick at it ever in your life for Christ. You don't have a used dip of snuff laid up there for you. You ain't got a barbed wire crown to throw at the feet of Jesus. You've always just lived for yourself. And wintertime is here for you, and you don't have any crop laid by. You don't have nothing. Nothing. I'm trying to come by here this week and warn you of it. Trying to help you. When it comes to habits, let me tell you something. If you want to get some weight off, you better do it at 20 rather than try to weight at 50. The older you get, the harder it is to get it off. You need to develop some good habits right now. There's coming a day when you're going to want to stop drinking and want to stop doping, and you've been doing it for so long you just can't get it off of you. I've seen it too many times. You know what that Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:1? It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While you're young and you're able, you better get after it for God. Not in the world, accumulating money and making a career and moving up the ladder, but get after it for God while you're young. Develop good habits while you're young. Stay away from the world while you're young, because once you get older, it's going to be that much more difficult to reverse bad habits and sinful lifestyles. You do it while you're young and you have an opportunity to. Wintertime's coming. Wintertime's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You're going to get down there and you're going to say, man, I've used all my money up, and I've used all my energy up, and I've used all my health up, and I've used my mind up, and I've used my ears up and my eyes up, and I don't have anything left. And I used it up not for God but on the world. And now it's time to die. I think of another word, not only the word health and help and habits, but I think of the word hardened. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2, that you can get to develop a conscience that is seared with a hot iron. The Bible talks about a seared conscience. It talks about a defiled conscience. The Bible speaks of an evil conscience. Now, a conscience is something God gives every single person that comes in this world. It's an innate thing He gives you with a general understanding of that which is good and bad. It's not infallible. It's not to be compared with the Bible. It has to be guided by the Bible and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But until you defile that conscience and harden that conscience and ruin that conscience that you are given ought to work together with the Bible, with the Holy Spirit, with your will, with your passion. But how do you think a person gets a defiled conscience? How do you think a person gets a seared conscience? What is a seared conscience? Like you taking an iron and sear something, just psst. You know what that is? You kill the nerve endings. Some of you fellas, with me and Brother Bill's here tonight, he'll appreciate this illustration. I hauled a lot of hay when I was growing up to put gas in my truck and have some money. And we hauled the square bale hays. That's what it was a lot still going on in the 80s when I was doing most of my hay hauling. And if something would happen, every time we would start hauling hay, the first few times I went out, I was like a little girl. That stuff would hurt my hands so bad. You know, you've hauled hay. My Brother Bill, some of you, you know what hay hauled. Christy, I'm sure you've hauled a bunch of hay. You know, it would hurt. But then something strange would happen. We'd continue hauling that hay, and I'd just keep picking it up. And then one day I'm out there in the field, Brother David, I don't even feel it no more. And I turn over my hands, and they don't look like they do now. These look like old tender hands. All I've been picking up is pencils and fried chicken. So, but I would turn over my hands, and you see big old calluses right there. Well, you could stick a big cigarette lighter to it. It wouldn't hurt it. What happened? All I had to do was just keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over, and I didn't feel it anymore. I'd reach down and grab those hay bales, not even caring or thinking about it. You know how you sear your conscience? Just over and over and over and over. You never give it a second thought. And one day when it's seared, you won't give it a second thought. You don't even care. You ever thought about, like I've heard Dr. Ruttman speak of before, about little babies come in this world and you see them, you look at them in the face. That's just a cute little baby. He's all innocent. Beautiful little baby. And he grows up to be Hitler. You ever seen the baby picture? I wonder what the baby picture of somebody like Jim Jones looks like. I'm trying to think of these people that do this mass genocide. What was that fella that killed all the Chinese people? What's that? Mao Zedong, yeah. I bet he had pretty good, nice baby pictures. At one time, they had a conscience. How'd they get to a point where they don't have a conscience anymore? They just kill people and torture people. You keep going against it. You defile it. You go against it. You go against it. You put your conscience to sleep. You know what's going to happen to you? Some of you are going to be in the wintertime in your life. You know what's going to happen? And this is a scary thing. You can go to 25,000 more church services, and they're not going to do you a bit of good. You put yourself to sleep. Do you know what I fear that I preach to all over this country? I preach to people that are so hardened, so callous, that if the Holy Spirit came behind you and tapped you on the shoulder, you wouldn't even feel it. You know what I'm preaching to? Maybe, probably somebody in here tonight. This is right over your head. Because you're in the scariest position of all. You know what the worst thing God can do to you on this earth? Is leave you alone. Just walk off and say, I'm finished. You were finished with me years ago. Now I'm finished with you. You'll never get right. You'll either die and go to hell. I don't care if you live 10 or 15 more years, or you'll die and face the judgment seat of Christ as a saved person with nothing. I'm finished with you. I believe he can do that. I believe he does. And then I think of one more word when it comes to the word hope. You know, when you read this and you see that when winter got there, there was probably not going to be much hope of Paul seeing Timothy before he died. They're going to execute him. And so he wants to see Timothy before he dies. And winter time has come. Hope of harvest is going to be over. All hope of harvest is going to be over for you and for me. The hope of him seeing Timothy is going to be over. Listen, the hope of telling that lost one about the Lord Jesus Christ is always, it's just all going to be over. There's never going to be another opportunity to do it. That letter you need to write, that relationship you need to try to reconcile, it's all over. Isaiah 55:6. You know what Isaiah 55:6 says? It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Now listen. Listen, did you notice what that passage said? There's two things that this passage implies. You have to pay attention and listen to it. It says, first of all, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. The implication is there's a time coming when he cannot be found. All right, did you notice what he says in the latter part of that passage? Call ye upon him while he is near. The implication is there's coming a time when he's not near. That can happen in a country. You're seeing that right now in our country. It can happen in a church. It can happen in an individual Christian's life. There's coming a time that you're going to wake up one morning and you're going to pull back the curtains. And you know what you're going to see? Ice on the ground. Barren trees. No activity. And then maybe you might hear a voice from heaven. I might hear a voice from heaven saying, "Today's the day." You got up and you looked out that window, and today's winter time for you. First day of winter. It's over. Your health is gone. Your opportunity to help is gone. Your habits have taken you over. You've been hardened, and now you've finally completed the cycle. No hope. No hope. No hope to change it. No hope to repent. No hope to get it right. No hope to ever do anything else. It's winter, and it's here. And again, the reason you can't believe it that it's coming for you is because it's so hot right now. And we're fixing to get to see them harvesting right now. And why are you telling me about cold weather as hot as it's been here? It's hot, don't you see, preacher? It's steaming hot right now. The message ain't wintertime is here. Wintertime is coming. God help you, man. God, I don't know what else to say to you. Listen, the cold winter is coming. The sun is going down. It's just around the corner. Are you ready tonight? Paul was in the winter time of his life, but listen to me. That was all right. Do you know why it was all right that Paul was in the winter time of his life? Because he had hauled in a real good harvest back in the fall of his life. What about you? Every head bowed and eye closed. Every head bowed and eye closed. And I'm going to turn this over to Brother Keith, your pastor. Close it just like he wants to.